First piece in Vayishlach is the limud from Yaakov on the future Doros. It's very interesting. Sometimes something which is seems to be pashut and common sense doesn't even seem, you know, it's a chiddush, but it is. The Ramban says, this nichtava pashas lo dia, ki hitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu abdo golem at chazak mimenu Vayishlach malach ve'atzilei. So the first thing the pashut is just Ashkoch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves Kalal Yisrael from people that are stronger, and so on.
Yes. Is the parsha Rebbe's referring to is
the parsha of Vayishlach, the beginning of Vayishlach, where Esav is running after Yaakov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves him. Not sure what he means by the malach, but al kaponim, it's another one of the Ashkochas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save Kal Yisrael, save the Abdi Hashem from somebody stronger. Now, Ulamednu od, to teach us also, Shehu loy botach b'tzit kosei, v'shtadl b'atzola b'kol yecholtoi, that he did not rely on a sitkis, but he did what he could in order to save himself. In other words, the parasha tells us that hishtadlus in makom sakana is appropriate, because the alternative is a certain reliance on one's tzitkis and schusim, and a person should be humble enough to say, I don't have it. V'yesh bo'ed remes l'doros, and as a remes, ki chol asher ira lavinu im Esav achiv, ya'or alonu tomid b'nei Esav. That whatever happened with Yaakov and Esav will continue through generations. V'roi alonu lechos b'darko shol tzadik, she'nazna tzen eshoish ha'dvorim, she'hizmin ros atzmoi. We need to follow along with the three things that he chose. Tfila, Doran, u'latzol of derech mulchama, Livroach ulinotzo. Ukvaror, abesein, aremazem, and apashas, etc. Ask him. So first thing is, he tells us that there, when we confront danger, we need to use a mix of different tools. Is it true that only tefillah will work? No, a person is supposed to use Doron, and he's supposed to use Atzola. Is it true, should we shirk from doing from Doron? The answer is no. Doron is appropriate, even though this sort of a negative image painted by the more secular nationalist approach was that paying off our enemies is cowardly and sniveling and don't have our rights and we shouldn't do it, this and that. The answer is no. Sometimes it makes sense to do it. In Europe, the situation was appropriate to do it that way. That's the way it was. And it's a valid approach, despite the fact that it's humbling. Just like, I mean, let's compare it to something else. If sometimes a person, the good advice to a person is to settle a case out of court, even though maybe 100% right, if the going through court and so on will be devastating, difficult, expensive, etc. A person needs to know that there's a toolbox with three different tools. Same thing with Mulchama. What's interesting is, if you look carefully at Ramban, he says, what does Mulchama mean, livroach v'li notzo? It means a physical ishtadlus, which at the time, the only one that made sense, fighting itself wasn't a real alternative in when Kaiser was in Ambanskuf in Spain, etc. The only thing it meant was running away and so on. Does it mean an absolute isser against fighting? I'm not sure that that's what it means. I think just it wasn't feasible. It also wasn't a very wise thing to write a pirush on the Torah published in Spain and say that one of our options is to fight the Spanish. I think that was also not a smart one. So I don't think it's a raya from him, but at any rate, the Ramban clearly redefines Mulchama as the Baruch Hu. So we'll see the next piece of Rebbe Chaya says the same thing. Next piece of Rebbe Chaya. V'da akesh ha-perek hazos bir l'mashir l'yakov meisav ochiv, v'remez gamken l'doiris l'mash osit sh'olam tom ne'esav, and so on. And he's pretty much repeats what Ramban says. and he says v'chein, the last line, anachn tzrichim lelechetz bedarka obis lahaskin atzmeinu lahak v'pneim b'mincha v'lashon raka. We need to be define it very, very bluntly, fawning if needs to be. Person needs to humble himself and and this is what Yaakov the Reza. Ubetfilo lifnei Hashem yisala. Aval b'mochami says iefsha. Shenema ishbat esham leisur shalayim hishbiyam shrezgaz mochami umos. So the Rabbi Mechaya says that there is an iser to have mochama bezman hazeh and with umos. This was the shita of the Satmar Rav and others. It's a very, very chashuv shita. It's not the shita that I was brought up with, and I assume most listeners were not. The shita we were brought up with was that if feasible, then Muhammad goes. The Isil is Garas Mosolam is to go and to be proactive in war, but if war is forced on us, then it's forced on us. We're living in Eretz Yisrael, and if we were to let our guard down, the Arabs would overrun it, Chas V'Shalom. So real Muhammad is there, and it's not called as Garas Bumos for many different reasons. But on the surface of it, it is, that is its, that's what it says. I want to add something. There are things that have become so ingrained that we don't think twice about it. And I want to point out one thing in particular. There is a never-ending stream of propaganda, not even the negative word, but just a constant theme that had we had our own state in World War II, we never would have gone like sheep to the slaughter. The only protection for Jews is Israel. The only safe place for a Jew in the world to live is Israel. Standing up for us, we finally learn, standing up for ourselves, this and that. This is sort of accepted. It's like when somebody says these things, he's shouted down for being trite, not for being wrong. But I'd like to think about it a little bit, and let's ask ourselves honestly think about it objectively. Is it true that if we would have had our own state in World War II, we would have not been destroyed by the Germans? I don't know where that comes from. The German state, Hitler's state, was by far, far, far stronger, more competent than the Arabs. I mean, you're talking about, night and day. You're talking about the most nebbish of countries to the most powerful country that was able to take on the whole world for a while. It was able to fight Russia and America and England. So to say, if we would have our own fighters, the Shin Bet would have taken care of him. There's a lot of hubris there. It's a statement that really, really. And the flip side would have been, if all the Jews would be concentrated in one place, it's very easy to destroy them. Let's go a step further. Let's leave a Kodesh Baruch Hu out of the equation, because, again, once we're talking about taking care of ourselves, we're leaving Kodesh Baruch Hu out of the equation. That's fine. So, somebody has to ask you, for the survival of the Jewish people with the Iran and the atom bomb, is it safer to have all the Jews between Metula and Eilat, all the world's Jews, everyone doing Miluim and everybody armed and the Shin Bet working around the clock, or having Jews dispersed in every corner of the earth ensuring survival? I think any objective, a rational approach would say dispersal of the Jewish people to many communities is what assures their survival. I was in 73 in Eretz Yisrael when everything caved in, and the government said, "My gosh, this is it. It's over." I was there, and I remember the beginning, the euphoria, and then the whole thing crashing down. It's not at all the shita of the Satmar Rav, and again, it's not the shita that I was brought up with, not the shita that I'm espousing. That's not that's on a commie to do. But I want to understand that the jury is still out on that one. The defending yourself is definitely psychologically a lot better. In other words, when you come along and say it is humiliating when you get your way by paying off your local nachalnik, your local government officials, and you sort of snivel in and you sort of duck under the fence, it's humbling, it's humiliating, that's correct. It's much nicer to stand proudly with a flag unfurled and sing a tikva. Yes, it is psychologically a lot more satisfying. But if you're talking about survival, sometimes that has to be done. It's just like a lawyer, the flamboyant lawyer who makes powerful arguments may be great for TV, but is he going to get the wisest, is he going to get the best settlement for his client? Lav dafka. The guy who can look at his squirrel and say, listen, we're on the losing side, chances are we're going to lose, let's reach a settlement that will give us the best of a bad situation. That might do a lot better for the client. It's humbling, psychologically it's humiliating, but that might be wise. And understanding, and in general, a seichel needs to look at every tool. A person who's lacked in on fighting is doing wrong. A person whose approach is only tefillah and nothing else is wrong. A person that's only underhand shtadlanis. These are three things. Each one is a tool. And the Torah teaches us that these are three tools available and we have to use it. As far as Muhammad goes, either it means that there is an Isser, and it may, in the long run, even in the state of Israel, as long as it's been living, as long as it's been around, we've lost more people in wars. We lost 20 plus thousand people in wars, Eleinu. Pogroms never took that amount. It is more psychologically rewarding, quote unquote, to lose people in battle than through a pogrom. There's a sense of helplessness, a sense of nebbishness, there's a sense of downtroddenness. Yes, those are all correct. But if you're talking about survival of human lives, it's not at all clear that defending ourselves with an army is the smarter way. Pogroms took tens of people, hundreds of people, in terms of human life, it was not, that was not the ultimate. I once had an argument, not many times, but once in an Israeli on the on an airplane, and went through the same thing. And he said, you know, anti-Semitism terrible over. They just heard about a shul that was burned somewhere in Los Angeles. I said, yes, anti-Semitism is everywhere, and you cannot be sure of anything. But one thing you are sure of is that they're killing people in the shul all the time. You know, the shul that got burned in America happens on a rare occasion, and we need to be very wary. But if you were selling life insurance, I would pay much higher premiums on an 18-year-old in Israel than I would on an 80-year-old in a suburb of Los Angeles. Okay, let's see the next piece. Next piece is Rambam about Nevuah. It's going on the Pasuk, Vayir Yakamot Vayetzalo, and the question is, being that Akash Baruch had promised Yaakov that he would watch him and so on, why was he worried about something happening to him? And Rashi says, Shema Yigra Machet, and the question is, if it's true that Shema Yigra Machet can cause a change of Nevuah, then how do we ever know that a Navi is telling the truth? He'll say a Nevuah Tova, it won't happen, I'll say, well, that's because you guys did Averis all the time. So how do we know exactly when it's Shigur Machet, and when is it, when does Navi have to be Mekuyim? So the Rambam says, it's a Rambam Pirush HaMishnayos over here, in his Akhtamah Pirush HaMishnayos, where he speaks about Nevuah as part and parcel of the big picture of Torah, where he discusses, does Torah come to the Nevi'im or not, whatever. V'nishah v'kan per God l'royal l'navaro, v'hu, sh'anovik sh'insnavi b'tzoros u'meros l'om, sh'im chayom, k'nishas hirem b'ro v'cher sh'davcha arzo m'yodem v'agavish k'doim aloy, v'acha ken lo yizkayim dobi meninyin ahu, v'ruchum min ha'shamayim v'om l'kol yoneim b'sholom v'shalva, l'yivoda b'ikozov ha'novi, v'in roar l'oma sh'u novi sheker. The novi says bad prophecies. he says bad things will happen, and it doesn't happen, that has not proved the Navi wrong. I mean, you have a Sefer Yoyna deals with that. That's exactly the Sefer Yoyna, where he came and stood and said, you know, that another 40 days and Nineveh is gone, and they did tshuva. Like by Achav, where he told him, I will bring the bad later. Or he will have Rachonikos and Schusim. Now I want to explain this. Rambam doesn't say the explanation. What is the explanation? Lamaisa, at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it. It's a Dvar Hashem. So how could it not happen? It's a side explanation. It's not the Rambam's, but the Malbim says it, and I think it's very worth passing it on. The Malbim says as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself has only Toiv as his Ratzai. So when he promises Tov, that is the promise. Ra is never a goal unto itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want to do Ra. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Ra will be coming, there's always a hidden clause if you won't do good. For instance, let's take a very simple example. A father loves his children. When a father tells his kids, I will be taking you on a trip someplace, then that's his rutzen. I would like to spend time with my children enjoying ourselves. That is the rock bottom his rutzen. If he tells the kid, I will not let you go swimming for a week, I will give you a patch, whatever it is, that's never the rutzen itself. It's as if, because I want you to be a good kid, and you've done something that that you need to be disciplined for, etc., then it's happening. So every Nebuah Ra automatically comes with a clause like that, because that is Betz HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. Fine. Avli says, if it was Maftiach Psuras Tovos, it says Chatzel Zman Kotzev. V'yeyme B'shana Zi Ashekt V'ashalva, and there were Muhammad and vice versa. U'kedoy Meloy, Neda Shu Navi Sheka, V'yizkayim Bitl Tanasa V'shekoy. So that does prove a Navi Sheka, and the whole parasha of a Navi saying Zanav Mishkayim goes on that. It says, don't be scared of the Navi. Now, the Rambam it says Pshatnas Pasi, very subtle way. It says, don't be scared of him. What are you scared of? Why would you assume that the Navi is in any way has power or whatever it is? But what are we scared of exactly? So the Rambam says, to Leima, Ayaf Chitcho, Ayaf Hilcho, Melaragoisei, Emunosai v'yoyshe v'chochmosai. Don't be awed by his tzidkis, by his yashus, by his chochma. Take a look at how Rambam subtly defines the scared. He says, in the context, the Navi is not a political figure, not a powerful figure, not a gibor in any sense of the word. You're scared of the very fact this person is a very big tzaddik, he's a very big chacham. That's something that should cause us great awe and not touch him. That, the Torah says, you still should kill him. Now, the Rambam here says a different explanation, or maybe it's a different angle. Why is it that a Nevuah Tov HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot have Charata? Theoretically, a Nevuah Tov also HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Char because you deserve it. For instance, take that kid that you said, I want to go on a trip, and then the kid happens, is so excited about it, takes a rock and breaks a few windows in some neighbor's house, I assure you the trip will be canceled. So why can't the Gospel cancel Tov if you no longer deserve it? So the Rambam here just says simply, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed a way to test the Navi. If a Navi can always come along and say, it's because you guys messed it up one way or another, then we've lost our ability to test a Navi. There's no echetim to testing a Navi. The therefore, at least one type of surah you need to be able to have. You need to be able to have the ability to check it, the ability to prove it, and therefore it's the Tzibur Tova. So the Rambam is not noches to explaining the reason why, but the Rambam is explaining just it has to be that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to pick one inyan that is absolute, and that's why Tova is chosen. It's not a steer down deep to what the Rambam says, but it's a different angle to what he's saying. Okay, so now his problem, so the problem is Yaakov Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him good things. So what was he scared of? Aval inyan pachad Yaakov. Acha sheftichu HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'psuros tovos. Kamo yishenema. Vehoya vehine anoichi imach shmatichu asher telech. Vehoya mefachet pen yomus. Kamo yishenema v'yi Yaakov ma'od v'yetzalo. Om chacham zal binya hu she mefachet me'ovon she megor lo misa. It says it's mefachet me'ovon. Behuma sha omru kasova sha meyigra machet. Yereze sha HaKadosh Baruch Hu yaftiach betoiva veyigra avonu says kamatavu. The churetz mashma that this is all in terms of this is good things and averis can cancel it. V'yesh l'das she'inyan ze einel ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu ben Hanavi. Al she'yoyim HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'novi laftiach ne'odom v'psur tarifa v'mayim ha'muchlet b'lo t'nai. V'achakach le'izkayim ha'tova hu se'botl v'yef sh'lios. Bishvil, so you nishal on a mock of the kind of munas hanovi and a vua. A kashbocho noisal and a terosa ika shanovi yibochan kisha amna of the choisa. So the Rambam, consistent with the shita that he said before, that we pointed out, says, since we said before that the reasoning behind the kiyum, the reason behind the not canceling a nevuah tova is in order to enable us to identify a navi emes, vis-a-vis a Navi Sheker, so that does not apply to private nevuahs given to a Navi. So Yaakov Avinu, since it wasn't a nevuah to be told to anybody, did not carry that klal with it, because nothing would happen if it was cancelled. So the Rambam Shita is, there's a chilek in a nevuah given to Yochid, and nevuah given to a rabbim. The nevuah given to a rabbim, if it's tov, cannot be cancelled, because that's a system of testing a navi. A nevuah given privately to a navi can be cancelled because of because of aveira, and so on and so forth.
So yes. How would the malbim fit with that? How would the malbim's understanding fit with that?
Correct. So malbim's understanding would not fit. This is the Rambam. This is a place where Rambam Shitasek. There are many kashas in the Rambam. Marshall, it says Ad Yavor Hashem, Ad Yavor Amzukanisa, that Ruuyim Hayuta, that Kaisel should have had a nace. The second time around, the Biashneer should be like Biashneer. The Chet was Goyreim. In Pasha Shevtim, we have a lot more of discussion. Many Shitas argue with him, and with Hashem, when we get to Pasha Shevtim, We should at some point we'll look into it, but that's the Rambam Shita. I want to add a few more points onto the Rambam. The Rambam himself says the same exact thing. The Rambam himself says a similar thing in Yesodei HaTorah with some change. Let me skim over what he says there. He says, It's in Yesodei HaTorah Yud Halacha Dalet. It's the Rambam in the last few prokim here speaks about nevuah, and he says that if a navi says pur anais, and it can change and it's not as serious as nevuah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says ve'ein oimrim hine dova zeloi bar. We don't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu it didn't come and therefore he's a sheker. Shehakadosh Baruch Hu erech apayim v'av chesed v'nicham al ha'roh. V'efshar said shuv v'slachin ha'shenin v'ay, v'shatolim k'chizkiyo. So the Rambam inserts here that it's possible HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is erech apayim v'av chesed. I don't know exactly how that fits with this. Possibly it means there's two inyanim. First of all, the Torah said that this is a simon, so it has to be absolute. Secondly, and logic tells you that if a Kadosh Baruch Hu says something, it can't change. So you say, no, a Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Hagaz Erechafayim Rav Chesed, and therefore it can't change. So I'm sort of working in a little bit the Malvus Mekuda fits in over here, because the Rambam himself seems to say it. Aros Rambam should have said, that's what it is. A Kadosh Baruch Hu gave a system. Imagine a Kadosh Baruch Hu would say that any Nebuah about trees has to be Miskayim, and that's how you're going to, and that's how you're going to test the Navi. It could be arbitrary. But the Rambam here says, it's not arbitrary. The Rambam here says that there's a certain nekuda of seichel to it, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu could be Rav Chesed v'nicha. Avol, he says, if it was machtiach on tov, it can't be. Shekol dover tov shigz or keil, afilo atanai ene choyzeh. And every dover tov, a Kadosh Baruch Hu cannot be choyzeh. And then he adds something. V'loi matzino shechoyzeh b'dover tova al b'chum rishon, k'sheftiach l'tzadikim shlei musim ashoyim b'choyzeh dvarav. V'zeh v'fush v'sech t'shabbos. So he says, it did happen once by the Churban, to Gemara, Hol Gemara, Sefer Shabbos, that they weren't Meichan the Rishayim, and so on and so forth. Hol Lamadata Shebedivra Tebel Vadi Vachan HaNavi. And so from this you see that only in the Dava Tova Navi came in Nifcha. But the Rambam leaves himself open to a real problem. One exception is one too many. If this is a klal for testing a Navi, why in the world how could it be that once, so if Yecheskel was Menave and he was a Navi Sheker, he should have killed him using the klal that a Dava Teva Kadosh Baruch doesn't have Charata. It's very, very hard to understand, you know, and if it happened once, so it's not an ironclad klal. Besides which, if you look at the Gemara there, I mean, the Gemara there seems to understand, the Gemara there is talking about that they were considered Rishoyim also because they weren't Meicha, because they could have been Meicha, and so on. It's not as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yankel and Beryl and Zerach, you guys are going to be saved. I mean, he said Tzaddikim will be saved, but it turns out that Tzaddikim were not real Tzaddikim because they weren't Meicha, and they even though it wouldn't have helped, the whole sugi over there. So it's very, very not clear, the Rambam in Yisrael Torah here, how does that fit in with that same klal? I want to add one more nekuda in the Rambam. Nevuah itself is on a pashta oifen, people think of it as a Kadosh Baruch Hu's messaging system. I'm dated a bit, instant messaging, Twitter, whatever it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to send a message out to the world. He picks a Navi and tells him, go tell everybody. The Rambam, the way he explains it, and in context of what he's saying here, Nevuah is two things. Nevuah is a personal madrega where a person becomes of a darga where he can communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. That's Nevuah. It is a darga of the Madregos of Avodas Hashem. And you see in the Rambam when he speaks of Nevuah, that's definitely a flow of things. It's a darga of Ruach HaKadosh. Ruach HaKadosh is a Madrega. It's personal in the sense, not that we need to know what's going to be in the future, but it's a Madrega of height that a person reaches that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, converses with him. Nevi'im are also, of the Nevi'im, there are chosen people to communicate to a Klal Yisrael, to the world, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. But that's not the only Nekuda of Nevuah. Nevuah is first and foremost a personal madrega, and then it may be used to send a message. So what the Rambam is saying is Nevuah as a personal madrega, the things that are revealed are still tentative. Then lav dafka that they are, absolute in any sense. It's Kilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying as things are going now. The ultimate mahalach is mishpat, but let me clue you in about what the case looks like at this stage. the when he sends them out to a public, then we have, we need a litmus test, and that's a litmus test. How it is that the Rambam's exceptions are the Torah, I really don't know, because it's miman afshach. If he wasn't being tested there, then what's the Rambam saying, and that's an exception? The Rambam says it only happened once. Let him explain to Klal why it could happen up there. Maybe Cheskel was already tried to prove a Navi and didn't test him, but Rambam doesn't say that, so I'm not clear about that. Okay, we'll hold it here.